You're listening to the Ministry 127 podcast, a complimentary resource for today's spiritual leader. The purpose of Ministry 127 is to aid Christians in developing a biblical philosophy of ministry. Ministry 127 is a growing online library aimed at assisting ministry workers with Bible-based resources and is a ministry of Pastor Paul Chapel, the Lancaster Baptist Church, and West Coast Baptist College. For more information, visit ministry127.com and subscribe to the Ministry 127 podcast for more practical lessons for today's Christian worker. Today's lesson is on how to use the Daily in the Word discipleship program with Tim Christensen. Tim Christensen has been serving faithfully for years as the assistant pastor over the adult ministries at Lancaster Baptist Church.
From the early days, Pastor has been passionate about discipling folks. And the verse that has ignited that passion, among others, is 2 Timothy 2:2. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There's four generations of spiritual development there. There's Paul, and he was the one that was giving the truth to Timothy. Timothy was the one hearing it among witnesses. Timothy was committed to who? Faithful men, and those faithful men were to teach others also. Four generations, and so oftentimes the challenge for us is not as much seeing someone saved, although that is a fantastic miracle when someone's saved, and of course, as Brother Willett preached so well last night, that's our responsibility, number one. And number two, though, that it isn't complicated. It's a natural thing to share the gospel and see someone saved. A real challenge, though, is seeing that person develop into a faithful man who could teach others also. And I think we see that in people's lives. And the Bible in the New Testament shifts in its terminology from addition, Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the church daily, to multiplication, Acts 6:7, the number of the disciples greatly multiplied. The only way to move from addition to multiplication is through those we win, winning others. And we're going to send the manual down the rows. Go ahead, fellas, and just do that as easily as you can. Paul said to the believers, I travail in birth again, in the book of Galatians, until Christ be formed in you. Childbirth is hard work. At least my wife told me that. And so Paul says, as intensive as it was to see you born again, I'm going to travail again till Christ is formed in you. And so it is great, it requires great effort to see someone move from salvation to a fully committed disciple who's ready to lead someone else to Christ. And so that's this program or curriculum is just a piece of the answer to that question, and I believe it's one that God has blessed and used. I think the most important thing is having a commitment and a strategy to get this done, and if this tool can be a part of that strategy for an individual church or folks, then that's, I think, a great thing. If you do not have a manual, try to find someone that you can share with there, and if you're looking and you can share with someone else and pass one along and share, that'll be real, real good. You might have to actually sit next to someone to do that, okay, though? So I know we sometimes like our elbow room, especially in the afternoon. Some folks ask questions about the specifics of our discipleship program. Let me speed through them real quickly before we get to the outline. First of all, this is not in your outline. Jot down only the ones that weren't already obvious to you, okay? First of all, we partner a new Christian with an experienced Christian who will lead them through this manual. Secondly, we attempt to partner them with someone from the same adult class. Okay? We say that we do discipleship through the Sunday school. We don't do discipleship during the Sunday school hour, but we do it through the organization, through the structure of the Sunday school, meaning that if I teach a class, which I do, and if there's a new Christian in my class, the idea is that we'd find a mature Christian in my class to partner with a new Christian in my class, and they would be discipleship partners. Okay. Next, already on the screen, I think, is that we disciple on Wednesdays from 7 to 8. It's during our midweek service. We use a couple of rooms in this building, including this room we're in. We set up rows of tables, and so that people sit across, kind of like you do in the cafeteria out here at the gym, sit across the table from someone that's your partner, and you work through it in the classroom. Folks show up 6:45, 5 to 7, right at 7, and about 7:05 or 7 o'clock on the nose, between those two times, someone in this room will stand up and say, "Okay, folks, welcome to discipleship tonight. Let's have a word of prayer," and then you're off and running. Father, bless these folks and bless the church service. The person will usually remind them. Pastor Chappell tonight is preaching from Proverbs chapter 20, and don't forget, after this time in your discipleship, you can stop by the lobby and pick up a free CD of the message so that you can receive that and maybe listen to that on the way to work tomorrow. And so I love it. Some people say, "Well, man, you're taking folks out of the auditorium on a Wednesday night and they're not hearing the preaching." And that is new territory. It was new territory for us about 10 years ago. And we're so thrilled with how the Lord's blessed it. And the two or three things that makes it real natural. One is there's a child care program already happening, so they don't have to answer the question, "What do we do with our kids when we meet with our discipler?" A huge one to me is that it gets them in the habit of coming to church Wednesday night. If they're a new Christian, it probably never dawned on them that Wednesday night would be a good time to go to church. And so you tell them to partner in discipleship, and then now for 20 or so weeks they've gone to church on Wednesday night. And so the last Wednesday we tell them, "Okay, you're finished now. Next week come back Wednesday night again. Come to the main auditorium, and Pastor will introduce you to the church. Let him know you completed your discipleship, and he'll give you a certificate." So the next Wednesday night they're sitting in church with the rest of the church family, and Pastor says, "We want to congratulate Joe Smith tonight. He's finished his discipleship. Let's congratulate him." And then one of the pastors runs that certificate to Joe wherever he's seated, and everybody claps for Joe. And that reminds the whole church of the value of discipleship and the fact that here's a new Christian, something to be thankful for, someone who's getting discipled. It reinforces all that for the entire church, and now this guy's in the habit of coming to church on Wednesdays. Okay, and so I like the fact that we use Wednesdays. We use Revels 209 and 309. Not that that matters to you. That's this room and the room below it. Some other folks will meet in different parts of this building at a couple of chairs. We have set a target as 12 to 16 weeks, and some folks have done it in as fast as 10 to 12 weeks. Some folks have taken 30 or 40 weeks, and it kind of depends on what kind of a commitment level they'll make to work during the week, and also how many questions they have and how new they are. If they were just saved out of a Jehovah's Witness background, they're going to take some time, and it's going to take a little longer. If they were, you know, Presbyterian but never saved, then they already kind of take some things at face value, like the Bible is true and that Jesus is God's son. They already know some of that, so that doesn't require quite as much, maybe, of in-depth on those topics. There are Wednesdays during the year we do not meet. We won't meet tonight because we have special meetings this week. Okay, our revival week, we won't meet on Wednesday night. Missions conference, we won't meet. So we meet probably 40 to 45 nights a year, and meet on Wednesdays, and we try to be predictable about it. Typically, we disciple someone following their salvation and baptism, and it's designed to function in addition to Sunday school attendance. So the idea, is, as far as a progression goes, is that someone gets saved and baptized, and about the time they get saved and baptized, at some point in there, they've found their way into an adult class because someone's inviting them to an adult class on Sunday mornings. And then once they've been saved and baptized and found an adult class, it's time to start discipleship. And we have had folks start discipleship who were not yet saved and who were not yet baptized. And that's great when they get saved, because what's neat is the first two lessons are kind of designed to help with that. And if it's someone's already saved, it's a lot of review of what they learned when they got saved and a lot more scriptures accompanied with it. And then if they're not saved yet, if they sit down like that and go through it, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit, of course, blesses His Word. And folks are saved in discipleship. If someone has been saved and not yet been baptized, typically they're not going to be able to get past about chapter 3. There's 10 chapters. Typically they're not going to get past about chapter 3 until they've been baptized, because now they're aware of the fact that that's their next step of obedience, and they're not being obedient to the Lord if they refuse to be baptized. Let me talk to you about our purpose very quickly. First of all, the purpose of discipleship ministry is, number one, to ground the new believer in basic Bible doctrine. Now we're in the outline. Letter B, to establish a relationship for mentoring and encouragement. Brother Johns, can I borrow your manual there? And I'm really sorry to ask that. And maybe you two men can share. I meant to ask for one for myself. Letter C, to develop the discipline of a daily time with God. Now, these middle two points, I want to just emphasize for a moment. The Christian life is a team sport, and you don't grow in a vacuum. It's a kind of a big brother, big sister program. And in any new environment, if you can have someone who's experienced to show you the ropes, that makes it a blessing and help to you. We need to remember that new folks coming into our churches, they're lost spiritually. In some cases, yes, they need to be saved. But then once they're saved and baptized even, they don't know how to find their way around, let alone know how to find their way into understanding the Word of God. They could, many of them couldn't find a book of the Bible if they had to. And they don't know about why Christians do certain things certain ways. They've never been told about giving or witnessing or things of this nature. And that's what this is for. And they've got a friend who now they're going to develop a relationship with. Now they can ask them questions and so forth. And there's a relationship that develops that is probably as important as anything in the curriculum, just the big brother, big sister relationship. Letter C, developing the daily time with God. All of us that have been saved any length of time know that you can just about predict someone's long-term success as a Christian based on whether they develop a habit of spending time with God every day. Folks who hit and miss in their Bible reading a lot of times don't go the distance as Christians. And so here's something that someone fairly new in their faith, for 15 or 20 weeks, they will develop the habit of carving out time each day to spend time with God. And then we try to make sure that continues, of course, after they have been discipled. And then number four, to prepare the believer to win and disciple others. And of course, this goes back to the multiplication emphasis that we spoke of a few minutes ago. Now, let's talk about our tools that we use. First of all, we use the Daily in the Word manual. And let's look at this manual together. Why don't we open to the table of contents. It says at the top, A Disciple's Path to Maturity. And we're not going to go through the table of contents quite yet, but we want you to have it ready there. And, of course, this is the key tool. I will say this. The second tool, though not as important, is the Daily in the Word Discipleship website. I'll show you a snapshot of that website. When you get to the Daily in the Word resource site, and this site is free to anyone and everyone, what it has is two different categories of information on all 10 lessons. Let's look at the lessons real quickly before we move on. Lesson one on the table of contents, the theme. Look at the theme. What does it say the theme is, everybody?
Salvation.
Salvation. And then it gives you about 16 topics. Those would be, if salvation was the Roman numeral, those would be the letters A, B, and C. Those are the subsets there, a few paragraphs on each topic. The theme for lesson two, the assurance of our salvation. The theme for lesson three, prayer. The theme for lesson four, the church. The theme for lesson five is what? Discipleship. And that's, we use the word discipleship probably for too many meetings, but what we're describing there is the life of a devoted one. And it draws the distinction between just someone who's goes to church Sunday morning and that's about it, and someone who truly day in and day out is following Christ. And it talks to them about the fact that the life of a disciple is a different life than the life of just a nominal churchgoer. And that's an exceptionally helpful thing. I'll come back and talk to you about this disciple training module in just a moment. Lesson six, the theme is the future. Lesson seven, spiritual growth. And you can see here again the subtopics here. Lesson eight, faith. Lesson 9, our words, and a subheading there would be, and our relationships. And then lesson 10, loving God. So that's the table of contents, the 10 topics of the lesson. Now, for each of these lessons, we have a couple of support items that we'll find later in the curriculum. First of all, if you click on lesson 1, let's just go back here. If you click lesson one here or lesson one here, it takes you to this page. This is the snapshot of the first page of lesson one. And so that identifies that for the disciple. And then there are two items, additional thoughts, because frequently when someone's working through the curriculum, they'll ask questions, and those questions are always based on what they've experienced in the past. If they came out of a Catholic background, they're going to have questions that a Catholic would have. If they came out of a Mormon background, they're going to have questions a Mormon would have. And so additional thoughts. We tell the disciplers to dive deeper when they determine it's necessary. And if someone's just saying, yep, I understand that, yep, I understand that, yep, I understand that, and if they're given every few minutes the opportunity to ask questions, then we can just keep moving. But when someone says, well, my cousin asked me this, or my in my old church they said this, that tips us off and flags the discipler to know that there's an area maybe that requires a little more study. The discipler can go to this site and look it up in preparation for next week's lesson, or they could literally go together to the site. Additional thoughts. Secondly, water cooler scenarios. We'll talk about these in just a minute. Don't worry too much about it. But in each session, there's built in some water cooler scenarios. These are hypothetical situations that are offered to the disciple to get them thinking about how to use what they're learning Monday through Friday. Okay? And so there are those two items for each lesson. If I clicked on additional thoughts, it would give me additional thoughts for each of the subsections in that topic. Okay, so the website is the second tool. Here are the here's the next page. If I had clicked on water cooler scenarios, it would have told me suggested answers and thoughts on the water cooler scenario that was offered in lesson one, section A. Letter C in your notes. A downloadable answer key. Now, just like in junior high math, the answer key is only for the teacher, okay? And the good news is, once a disciple's done with the program and they teach someone else, their book is their answer key now. And the idea is that they've jotted things in the margin that stood out to them. They've answered the filled in the blanks. But if you're starting this program like we did last fall, and we've discipled for probably 15 years as a formal program, we've used a similar curriculum to this for probably 6 or 7 years, and we just started using this one, which was a very significant revision in December. So if you're starting it from scratch, your mature Christians who are going to be your partners and trainers, they need the answers to all these little blanks. And what happens is if someone orders this curriculum through the Striving Together website, they are then emailed a PDF that is a PDF of this book exactly. And it has all the answers filled in. I encourage people not to print it out because it frustrates our environmentalist friends. And secondly, it's just a waste of time and paper and so forth. So what I suggest folks do is they sit down at their computer screen and open their manual and just start writing in, because this manual is made to be used and abused and reused. And if you'll write them in here, you don't need to do that. Someone might say, well, I'd rather take the PDF and print off 120 pages and just three-ring bind it and put it in a notebook. More power to you. And then you don't need this really then. But you get that when you buy this, so you're going to have both, and that's fine. That's for the teacher to give the answers, and that's how that works. If someone says, well, I think when they're selling these downstairs today, they're giving you instructions on how to get the answer key. And if not, you let them know that we told you you need it. Next, I want to show you the answer key real quickly. This is the email that I received when I received my book to disciple, and it was an email from Striving Together to me that said, thank you for purchasing the manual. Please download the answer key. So you click download. It downloads this 100 and some page PDF to your computer, and then you can open it as often as you want and use it as often as you want and do whatever you ever want to do with it. And now it's there, and you download it. Here's what it looks like when you open it up as a PDF, and you've got your pages over here. There it is, 172 pages. This is what page 13 looks like. You can see the answers in the blanks, okay? These are your tools. Then the fourth tool you need is a three-ring notebook. What is the three-ring notebook for? It's to put the printed PDF in. No, just kidding. The notebook is for the disciples to have some more real estate to answer questions. So I'll give you an example of the questions. How about page number 16? No, that's the wrong page, sorry. Page 18. Yeah, big help. Page 18. These are the questions from lesson one. And our suggestion is that the disciple would write the answers to these questions in the separate notebook and just put a heading on that loose leaf lined paper in their notebook. And if someone says, well, I'd rather write it in here, and if you have really nice, neat, small handwriting, go ahead and do that, and that's just fine. The final tool you need is real complicated, 3x5 cards, okay, for memory verses. Any of us who've ever memorized Scripture understand the importance of having those cards to use for our memory work. Now, let's dive into the book a little further. Let's look specifically at this manual and what it contains. We looked at the table of contents. We read the headings, and you see that there are 10 chapters, 10 lessons, we might call them. No two disciples will move through these lessons at the same pace. I'm suggesting an average for each lesson is 2 weeks. I'll say on lessons 1, 2, and 3, I wouldn't be real surprised at all if someone spent 3 or 4 weeks. But if you can spend 2 weeks on the first, two weeks on the first three lessons, and then 1 week on the lessons thereafter, then it works out to be close to 12 to 16 weeks. And if your disciple is willing to work at home during the week, which is, again, part of the built-in design to get them in the habit of opening God's Word and cracking God's Word open during the week, then they'll be able to succeed once you get past about lesson three to do about a lesson a week, or at minimum every 2 weeks. Again, if someone has lots of questions or they're really, really from a confused doctrinal background, I would certainly welcome taking more time. Now, each lesson, as you saw, is about 18 pages long or so. Let's look what's in those 18 pages. There are sections in the lessons. So let's go to page 3. Lesson 1, page 3. And we start the page numbering over at each lesson. So it's lesson 1, page 3. You see that it says section A at the top right? And section A is the beginning. Okay, now let's turn a couple pages. You see that this section is about 5 pages long. And now look at page number 9. Section B. And what's our title heading for section B? The Savior. Each lesson has a number of sections. What was the rhyme or reason behind how many sections are in each lesson? That was dictated by basically the topic and Brother John Honeycutt, who wrote the curriculum. So some lessons only have one section, just A. Some have, I think, as many as 4, A, B, C, D. This one happens to have 2 sections, A and B. And there are 21 sections in all. So there are 10 lessons and 21 sections. Now let's look and ask ourselves what is in each of these sections. In each of these sections are the following 4 items. First of all, there is the key objective. That's the big statement at the top where it says our key objective is, go back to page 3 if you haven't already, to understand the one true God of the Bible. One of the things I love about this, and I realize we might be oversimplifying it or even insulting someone's intelligence, but what you can do is, number one, you can do this with someone regardless of what exposure they have to Christianity or the Bible already. And number two, anybody can do it. You don't have to be a theologian to disciple someone. You can sit down and say, okay, now our key objective here, Joe, is to understand the one true God of the Bible. Now, the next item that's included in this section A. We're just going to look at section A right now in lesson one as an example of what these 21 sections have. It has key verses. The verses are to be read by the disciple and checked off by the disciple. So in your opening meeting, we'll talk about your meetings later, but in your opening meeting, you might begin by chatting for a while and then jumping into this, and you might say, okay, if I'm Tim and this is Joe, he's my disciple. Joe, let's find Genesis 1:1. Isn't it nice that that's the verse they're having to find first? Okay, let's find Genesis 1:1. It's the first verse in the Bible, Joe. Okay, let's find that. Now, Joe, would you read that verse for us? And Joe reads the verse. Now, let me tell you what that verse is telling us, Joe, and you see if you have any questions about it. That verse tells us that the one true God, so write God in the blank there, Joe, the one true God made everything. He not only created the world, right, created in the blank there, Joe. He not only created the world, but the heavens and the earth, everything there is. Good? Okay, good. Let's move on. Now, Joe, let's find Psalms. Now, that's right in the middle of the Bible. Let me help you find it. The book of Psalms, here's left under the 33rd Psalm. And let me show you how the chapters work and how the verses work. Read verse number 6 and verse number 9. Go ahead. And so I like to have the disciple read them. Sometimes we'll mix it up a little bit. If my wife and I are discipling another couple as we are currently, I might take turns reading the verses or something of that nature. But it's good for the disciple to read the Word of God aloud and to learn to do that. The next item that I've already alluded to now are the explanatory statements. The explanatory statements are to be filled in together. And then fourth, the reflect and transfer section. There is a reflect and transfer section at the end of every section, and that is found on page 8 for section A. This has... Yes, sir.
What age, how far down?
18. For high schoolers, we have something different happening that Brother Schmidt leads on Wednesday nights as a group. And a couple of other different programs. Yes, sir. Reflect and transfer, discussion questions, and it's helping the disciple assess what the person has learned and how much of this they're getting. A water cooler scenario for the two of you or the four of you to talk about and discuss and look up on the internet if you'd like some ideas on how to answer it. And then look at this. Write Romans 5:12 in the space below. Going down a line at each punctuation mark. This is an exercise that I had never heard of until I met John Honeycutt, and that many folks have never heard of, writing the scriptures. And of course, you go back to ancient times, and that's how you had a copy of the Bible. But writing the scriptures is a wonderful learning exercise, and they're asked to write one verse, and you can sit there and write it with them, and then you say to them, how would you explain this verse? And our temptation is to help them. And you should help them, but first you should let them work through it for a minute. Now, how would you explain that? And, well, who is that one man? Okay, that's Adam, right. And sin entered into the world. You understand that, okay? How would you explain that to someone? And someone might say, well, because Adam sinned, now all of us have sinned after him also, and so we've all experienced this problem of spiritual death because of Adam. And that's how someone might explain it. So that's what the section has within it. So lesson one has an A section and a B section. At the A end of the A section, we have a reflect and transfer. At the end of the B section, we have a reflect and transfer. Look at that on page number 14. Now, at the end of every lesson... So we've gotten through 1A and 1B. Now we're at the end of lesson one. Look at across the page. This is still lesson one. This is called the Daily in the Word section for lesson one. The Daily in the Word section includes a few things. Look at pages 16 and 17. It includes the destinations of our journey. Brother Honeycutt felt it important to put these 10 points on the first page of all 10 Daily in the Word sections. So this is a review, and what this is basically a spiritual roadmap for someone to help get a vision of where they're headed spiritually. They are not to have arrived at all 10 of those, but they're to know that's where they're headed. First, know Christ. Secondly, have assurance. Third, have a thirst for God's Word. So this is the Daily in the Word section. It has the destinations of our journey, and that's reviewed each time. You can spend very, very little time on that. Then it has memory verses. Now, the memory verses don't start until lesson three, okay? So don't worry about that too much right now. I will show you, if you'd like to see an example, lesson three, page 15. You can assign memory verses based on your understanding as a discipler of what would be most helpful to the disciple, but here are many suggestions on this page, and you begin asking them to memorize scriptures, okay? So the Daily in the Word section has the destinations of our journey. It has the Bible memory verses. It has some type of an exercise. It might be a Bible writing assignment that they're going to write several verses of the scripture. It might be there's some study they're supposed to conduct on their own during the week. This is really this section is what gets them in the Word of God during the week and helps them to have to answer some questions and get used to using their Bible. Let me show you a couple of other examples. On this one, it's really just an explanation of how to study the Bible. Look at the Daily in the Word in lesson 2 on page number 15. Pages 15 and 16 explain the exercise of writing the scripture. And they're asked to begin writing the book of 1 John, just a few verses a day. I love it because it gets them in the Word of God. They're forced to write that down and so forth just by going through that exercise. Then, let's jump back now. Lesson 1, page 18. There are review questions. Every lesson has review questions like this. They might be a short answer question like, where did evil start? Or they might be more of a question like, explain Acts 4:12. Okay, so you'll find those at the end in that Daily in the Word section. So again, I know there's a lot there, which is why we're kind of walking through it like this. Each lesson, there's 10 lessons. Each lesson has sections, A and B for lesson 1. At the end of each of those sections, there's the reflect and transfer. Then at the end of the lesson is the Daily in the Word section. The Daily in the Word section. And at that section, we have the destinations of our journey, the memory verses, Bible writing or study, and then questions for that lesson. There are sprinkled throughout pages that are just blank lines that say my notes or my journal. Those are just for them to use for whatever they'd like, something that stood out to them in that chapter maybe, or something of that nature. Now, one thing we skipped on the table of contents, if you'd like to go back to the table of contents, is discipleship training modules. And I promise this is the last piece of the pie to understand what's all in this book. Discipleship training modules, there are 7 of them. And you'll see them on the table of contents. And this tells you what those are dealing with. The definition of one-on-one discipleship, discipleship training module 2, the value of one-on-one discipleship. Let me tell you, and I think you'll appreciate this, the sole purpose of these 7 little sections are to get this person ready to disciple someone else. Now, some people, frankly, they're too shy. They might never disciple someone. Or they're going to finish and you wouldn't have a comfort level with entrusting a new convert to them yet, maybe. But I really believe maybe half the folks who finish or more, you'll be able to then entrust a new convert to them at some point after they've finished. Discipleship training modules. Let's look at an example of one. Lesson 6, page 16. You'll find that it's very similar to the other sections as far as filling in blanks and so forth. There aren't the scriptures to look up, but you're just talking through it. And you're helping them to understand about how to disciple. These don't begin until after lesson 5. And these are a part of your answer key. And you'll work on them together, filling in the blanks together. Now that you know what the book's made of, let's talk about your meetings together. Your first meeting. Okay, let's just say you've got some folks ready to disciple. And that's going to involve, if you're starting this from scratch, probably meeting with some folks and training them. We'll talk about that maybe at the end. But now you've got a mature Christian. He's at least up to speed with whatever you're receiving in this hour. And he's a mature Christian and you've got this new Christian. They're going to sit down together. Let's just say you're the mature Christian. What are you going to do? Let's talk about that first meeting, okay? First of all, get to know each other. Secondly, explain the Daily in the Word manual. As far as getting to know each other, you don't need to use this, but some folks enjoy using it. There is a downloadable kind of a getting to know you question and answer form on the website, and it's under other resources or something, and you download it and ask them how long they've been saved and what their family background is and things of that nature. You could use it for food for thought, but get to know them. Secondly, explain the contents like I just spent 20 minutes explaining them to you. You don't have to get quite that far. I wouldn't talk to them a lot about the training modules and things and about the scripture writing and things of that nature yet. Because really you're going to spend a few weeks before you ever get to that. Third, describe the needed materials for their next meeting. Let them know what they're going to need as far as their notebook, their 3x5 cards, and their Bible and so forth. And then, after about 15 minutes of getting to know each other and talking through this, maybe 20 minutes, go ahead and open to page number 3 and start working through it. Begin with Lesson 1, Section A. Now let's go back to that, Lesson 1, Section A. Lesson 1, Section A, page 3. You'll hear different people talk about this program, and some will tell you a little different information. About most of our ministry, I think all of us would say the same thing, but if others who have used it would say this maybe slightly different. But what I'm going to tell you is this. If you've got an hour to disciple, and you've just spent 20 minutes getting to know each other and talking about the program, if you start in Genesis 1:1 here, and you have the disciple read it, and then you help him fill in the blanks, and then you move on to the next one and so forth, you're going to finish that 40 minutes, and you're probably going to be on page 5 or so. And what I want, let's just say you do page 3 and page 4, and let's just say you finish at the bottom of page 4. I'm going to tell you what I do with my disciples. Joe, we've just finished page 4, and it's 8 o'clock now. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you what to work on between now and next week. And I want to encourage you to spend a little time each day on this. If you spend 15 to 20 minutes a day, it won't be overwhelming. Go here to Isaiah, and I show him how to find the table of contents in his Bible and so forth. Go here to Isaiah and look up these verses. Don't fill in the blank, Joe. Okay? They're always tempted to. But don't fill in the blank, Joe. If you want to write something in pencil that's your best guess, you're welcome to, but that's not what I'm recommending. Just read Isaiah 14, 12, 15. Put a check mark in the box, and anything that stands out to you as a question or something that's foggy, just jot it down. And then we're going to go through all these together next week. But if you've already at least read the verses, that'll help us. And what I would ask him to do is to read about a page a day worth of verses, and that'll take him through the remainder of lesson 1, page 13. The exception would be if this person is not yet saved. If this person is not yet saved, I wouldn't turn them loose on their own. I want to read these verses together, okay? But if they are saved and you feel like they're coming along, I would give them the liberty of looking these verses up. I like them putting the check mark in, and here's why. It helps me next week to see that they've checked them off. Sure, they could do that if they wanted to, but that's not. I think most folks that are adults are gonna cooperate, and they're going to say, I didn't get very far. If they didn't get very far, and that's fine. But if they can, it'll help you expedite through a couple weeks of lesson if they'll read from page 5 to 13 or wherever you end up after that 40 or 50 minutes, and they've looked up the verses. Now, between meetings. Here's what the disciple should do. First of all, the disciple should look up each key verse, beginning where you left off with your discipler, through the end of the lesson or section. Put a check mark beside the verse. We said all that already. Secondly, fill in the blanks that are obvious. You know, and an obvious one maybe would be lesson 1, page 5, middle of the page. 1 Thessalonians 3:5, another name for Lucifer is, and then because the verse has the answer right in the verse, okay? Other ones are not so obvious, okay? So fill in the blanks that are obvious. Next, read those portions of material before, read those portions of material that don't include blanks. So some of these don't have blanks in them. They're just a paragraph of information. An example of that would be on page 6 after Genesis 1:31. There's no blank there. They should feel free to read that after they've read the verse. To me, what's important is this person taking the time to jot down their questions during the week in the margin or putting a little star to ask. And folks do that if they want to learn. The next thing they should do is they should write down their questions. Next, they should complete the reflect and transfer. So show it to them and say, now when you get to page 8, Joe, answer these on your loose leaf paper in your notebook, and we'll discuss your answers when you get back. The next item, complete their Bible writing, which is very little until you get to lesson 3. The next one, answer the question for the lesson. Answer the questions for the lesson. Those are at the end. I think we said page 18. Page 18. Answer the questions. And then work on one or two memory verses. And again, you're not going to start that until about lesson 3 either. That's a lot for someone to do during the week. But no one ever said the Christian life was going to happen on a 3-minute devotional they read that they got out of a rack somewhere. That doesn't take someone deep in their faith. It doesn't ground someone. It's most of us know that to have a thriving relationship with God, it's going to take 30 or 60 or 90 minutes a day. And these folks, remember, their heart is tender. They've just been saved. They'll probably never be more thirsty than they are right now to learn or hungry to learn. And let's seize on that and get them in the habit of saturating their lives in the Word of God during the week. Now, you've met your first meeting. You've had your week go by. You come back for your next meeting. Let's talk about the next 15 to 20 meetings. Here's what you'll do together. You'll sit down together, and you will work through each section, beginning, this is key, beginning where you left off last time. Even though he read all these verses, you have to go back. And if they checked off they read the verse, you don't necessarily need to read it again. You can just give them the answers to the blanks and talk about that and ask them if they had any questions about it. Look up any additional verses. That need reemphasizing or that you would like to add based on your own understanding of the material. And then review and discuss. Review and discuss several things. Review and discuss their own questions that they've written in the margin. Discuss the reflect and transfer. Discuss the lesson questions, the memory verses, the Bible writing. Just discuss all that. Look it over. Look over their work. And then finally, at the end of each week, we ask our discipler for each group to inform the discipleship secretary who's in the room. She comes back into the room a few minutes before 8, where they are. We give them a form that tracks their progress. So as a discipler, when I finish spending my hour with the couple that I'm discipling on Wednesday night, at the end of the night, I write down where they're at and where we got to so that we in the church office can have an understanding of the state of the flock. Let me give you a couple final suggestions that I would encourage you to give to your disciplers in your church. Number one, look for opportunities to serve and fellowship together outside of your weekly meeting. That might mean a class barbecue. It might mean sitting together in church. Next, be accountable with your partner when you're not able to make your weekly meeting. Meet with the disciplers, and make them promise each other that they won't ever be a no-show. Okay? That discourages the other party. Next, keep your adult class leader informed of the disciples' progress. Now, I'm using wording that we used here. In your church, you might say keep the pastor informed or keep the assistant pastor that's in charge of the discipleship program. But we want the disciplers to know that they're not in deep water with this new Christian with no help And if this person says to them, I'm struggling with a drug addiction, that they have to now help them solve that problem. That's what a pastoral staff and others are for, to help with. If this person says, my marriage is on the rocks, or my spouse left me, or I'm questioning my salvation, or I'm trying to get over depression, those kinds of things need to have flags raised and shoot right up the chain of command to an adult teacher, to an associate pastor, to someone, to the senior pastor, to let them know that there's maybe a question. So keep the leadership informed about significant questions or concerns over the disciple's spiritual health. And that's an important one, because these disciplers, the vast majority of whom are volunteer, godly, good folks, but they're volunteers who have a busy week and a full-time job probably somewhere, they are the eyes and the ears, and they're basically helping the pastor to shepherd this one person. They've been delegated the responsibility to help shepherd this one sheep, this one lamb. And so that's important to keep folks informed. And then finally, try to keep pace. Keep pace by giving time during the week to work forward in your material. If I just picked this book up, which I did a year or so ago, before it was in production, and I go, man, this is overwhelming. What's this section? What's that section? What's the module? And what's that? And what's this? Hopefully we've broken it down for you. And it's not about the terminology. It's not about the order. It's mostly about having a tool to give someone a guide to get them going. And I, as far as content goes, I really enjoy seeing the spiritual lights come on for a new Christian as they work through this. I think it works well. We've been thrilled with it. I think we've probably had, since January, see, if we started this in December and it takes 15 or 20 weeks to get through it, we were only starting to graduate folks with this spring. So this year we've had maybe 30 people graduate from discipleship, probably half of them graduated with this. We have probably over 60 people right now on the learning side of this. So we have about 60 disciplers and 60 disciples right now going through this. Some of them are on lesson 5 or 6, some of them are on lesson 1, and they started 2 weeks ago. Yes, sir. Keep them in the church? Huge. Huge. 1 year later? Some folks, stay 2 or 3 years and they get a job transfer. But as far as keeping them as a dedicated Christian, this is only an educated guess. We don't track it. I'm going to say it's 75. You know how it works. Everybody you lead to the Lord, you don't see baptized. Everybody who visits the church doesn't come back a second time or a third time or join. Every person you see discipled doesn't stay. But here's what makes me passionate about this. If I can get someone I've led to the Lord onto this campus and into this program, now all of a sudden there's a 75% chance they'll be around here a year from now. And so I want to be passionate about my soul winning fervor, and I prayed about that personally last night when Brother Willett preached. But I want to be equally as passionate about seeing my converts get into this, because I know it's like whether you feed your child once they're born. Yeah. If you can get your child some good nourishment once they're born, they're going to thrive. A family in our class we were praying for, they had a baby, and the baby wasn't gaining weight, and the medical diagnosis was a failure to thrive. And I thought, how many babes in Christ would be diagnosed as a failure to thrive? And I believe that the answer is nourishment. And, of course, that's the Word of God. And what this is just a tool to get them into the Word of God in kind of a systematic fashion, and a big brother friend to help them, show them the ropes.
Thank you for listening to the Ministry 127 podcast. Today's lesson was on how to use the Daily in the Word Discipleship Program with Tim Christensen. This podcast was designed to equip spiritual leaders to grow in the Word and develop a biblical philosophy of ministry for today's local church. Be sure to let a friend know about ministry127.com. Also, for Christ-honoring publications, please visit strivingtogether.com for resources that encourage spiritual growth and the local church ministry. Thank you for listening to this Ministry 127 podcast.